Aren't you grateful for our praise team today? Me too. Turn with me in your Bibles. We're in Luke chapter 10 and Proverbs chapter 3 today. We'll start with Luke 10:38. And before we pray, though, I just want to let you know, I was speaking with a person this week who told me how grateful he was for the ministry of First Church and how it had helped his family in this past year, whether it was utilities help or food help or some other kind of tangible help. He was blessed by each of you, and I'm grateful for each of you as well, for all that we've been able to do and accomplish and sustain in these never-before-experienced times. That's why your giving is so vitally important, because when you give to the ministry of First Church, you're affecting countless lives. If you've been giving regularly, thank you. If you've just started giving, thank you. If you haven't begun this journey yet, please start today, for without each of you, this church really can't do what it's been called to do, which is to share the healing love of Jesus with a world that is so hurting and broken. So thank you for your past, for your present, and your future faithfulness. It truly is needed now more than ever, and we're grateful for each of you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, as we come before you today, we are reminded that you gather us together wherever we are. There are some who are in this room right now, and there are some who are watching online right now, and there are some who will be watching later because they can't get up early enough. And the reality is that you have united us all wherever we happen to be, whenever we happen to be. You have united us all by your Holy Spirit as the family of God. And for that, we are truly grateful. So teach us your word today as we deal a little bit with how to deal with stress. And we will be grateful forever for all you do. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we are talking about stress today. So I'd like us to take a look at our passages this morning as we learn how to deal with stress. Anybody experienced stress in this past year? Just wondering, just close. I was hoping I wasn't the only one. Really? Okay, well, we're in Luke 10, beginning in verse 38 to begin. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered. Anytime the Lord says your name twice, you better listen. "You're worried and you're upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." And also in Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he," that is God, "will make your paths straight." A while back, I saw an article entitled 101 Ways to Deal with Stress. Now, I'm not going to give you all the 101 ways, but let me just read for you a few that I picked up. One, avoid wearing tight-fitting clothes. That'll relieve some stress. Make duplicate keys. How many times in the last week have you forgotten where your keys were? For me, it's 5. Usually the over-under for me is about 5 every week. Tell somebody to have a good day in Pig Latin. I think that sounds like Ave, Awe, Isne, Ade, but I don't know how that relieves stress, but they say they do that. Mute your phone at meal times. Amen to that. Mute your phone while watching a movie. Amen, amen to that. Mute your phone anytime you can. Amen, amen, amen to that. Always tell the truth is another one. That way you never have to remember what you said. Also, don't text message with someone while having a conversation with someone else who's standing right in front of you. Also, another one is don't eat a full breakfast while driving a car. Now, that doesn't mean eat a full breakfast and then go drive. That means don't eat a full breakfast while you're driving the car. And also when playing golf, Al, you'll like this one. When playing golf, write the problem you're having on the golf ball and then take out the driver. Very helpful. Do you know that Americans take about 33 trillion aspirin a year? Did you know that? I don't think that's true. I made up that number. But we take a lot of aspirin, and most of it we take because of stress. So those are some suggestions to help. It is clear that we as a culture need to deal with stress and pressure in our lives, and even more clear that we as a society are not dealing very well with stress and pressure in the day to day. Now, here in Luke 10, we have some major stress going on. Jesus has just stopped by Mary and Martha's house. Would that cause you some stress? You open the door. Jesus, hi, how are you? And Martha is feverishly working to keep it all together, while Mary is sitting on her hindquarters at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he has to say. And Martha was cooking, and she was sweating over the details of the meal, wanting everything to be, just so right. All the while looking over her shoulder at her sister, just sitting there. If looks could kill. And all the while dinner was cooking, Martha was burning. After all, Jesus, the healer, the champion over the Pharisees, and depending on which gospel you read and the chronology you choose, the resurrector of her brother, was her guest of honor, and Martha was just trying to be faithful. But she got angry because her sister didn't lift a finger to help her. Verse 40 tells us that Martha was under stress, and so she said something like, "Lord, why don't you tell her to be like me?" Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm nursing my stress and as a result get angry or self-righteous or distracted, I seem to pretend that God can't help. Now, I know God's present, but sometimes I act like God's doing something else when I'm in this state, you know, like watching a DVD of A Star Is Born or something. And perhaps he doesn't notice, or maybe he doesn't even care that I'm doing what I'm doing, or I'm going through what I'm going through. You know, this is something that's hard for most Christians to deal with, that like Martha, even when we are close to Jesus, that is in the same house, we will experience intense stress and pressure if we handle our situations like God has no part in them. Again, even though Jesus is present right in front of us, that's what Martha did. The Son of God was a guest in her home, and she acted as if the evening depended on her chicken pot pie. Flashlights don't work without batteries. Cars don't run without gas. Food doesn't cook without fire. Airplanes don't fly without wings. And we do not handle pressure and stress well if we proceed like God can't help us, or if we act like God isn't even there. Jesus was in her house. Let that sink in for a minute. Jesus was in her house. In fact, everybody, just say that. Jesus was in her house. Yeah, that's where he was. And Martha acted like the meal was the most important thing. Not that Jesus was in her house. And when we act like the thing we're doing for God is more important than God, we begin to resent the task. I've known many Christians who eventually lost interest in faith because the ministries or the activities that they were first doing for God somehow became more important than the one for whom they were doing them. They allowed themselves to be defined by what they did instead of whose God said they were. And under human power alone, that doesn't last very long. So they walked away because they were worn out. Not because God wore them out, but because they tried to do Christ-like things and they forgot to invite Jesus along. And therefore, they didn't have any power. Jesus analyzes her stress with two words. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted." Some of your Bibles may say upset. The word translated as worried literally means pulled in opposite directions. And the word translated upset or distracted literally means to be ripped apart. You know, like the wishbone is distracted at Thanksgiving. I mean, have you ever felt like that in your life? I certainly have. So why is it Jesus is stress-free in the most stress-filled situations any human being has ever faced? Well, because he's never lost perspective on what he's come to do. In John 17 and 4, that's Jesus' high priestly prayer right before he's betrayed and gets crucified. He tells God the Father that he has accomplished what he came to do. But how can he say that? There were still people who didn't know him, who didn't know God's love, who didn't know God's forgiveness. So how could he actually be finished? How could he have completed what he was supposed to do? Because his purpose was to bring God's truth of who he was and how to live, then entrust it with his disciples and empower them to overcome the world. And he stayed true to his purpose. He was never pulled or ripped apart in opposite directions like Martha was. And as a result, he lived a life that didn't have stress. Martha was stressed because she forgot the number one guideline of faith. When God is present, nothing else needs attention. Nothing else matters. And by sitting at his feet, Mary was accomplishing her purpose. She allowed God to fill her heart and life. She wasn't pulled in opposite directions or ripped apart. Now notice that Mary, who's been sitting at the feet of Jesus, doesn't snap. She doesn't snap back at Martha. "Well, sis, at least I know Jesus isn't just another guest. At least I have my priorities straight." Mary doesn't need to snap because she's not pulled in opposite directions like a wishbone. See what I did there? Now, for a moment, take a look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. There are three important action phrases in these verses I'd like us to look at. They're commands. They're our responsibility. No one else can do them except for us. It's our responsibility, for one, to trust in the Lord. It really is a matter of trust. One of the definitions of trust is reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, or surety of a person or a thing. It's confidence. In our Monday morning routine, is there a sense of trust in the one who saved us, or do we tend to toward the Home Depot philosophy of life, right? You can do it, we can help, but only if you want us to. After trust, the next is do not lean on your own understanding. To lean on our own understanding is to believe that everything is the way that we see it. Whether we believe the sun revolves around the earth because we're on the earth, or God doesn't love us because we're having trouble, or there is no right or wrong in the world because that's how we think everyone can be happy, those are the things that are developed by a limited human mind. Don't you think sometimes, for example, that kids believe that their parents don't love them because the parents don't allow the kids to eat candy anytime they want? Sure, they think that. But a parent sees more than a kid can, right? At least hopefully a parent sees more than a kid can. God would tell that chocoholic kid, don't lean on the understanding of your belly and your sweet tooth because it can't see the whole picture, even though you believe it can. Thirdly, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That is, acknowledge God. Have you ever compartmentalized your life? That there is a place in your life where you freely welcome God, and then there's another place in your life where you just haven't welcomed him in. You have caution tape around it and nobody can come inside. God says that since our understanding is insufficient and we can't fully trust anyone else on earth, in all your ways acknowledge me, God says, because I'm the only one who can get you through. When we look at our family, we need to acknowledge God and his precepts govern us. When we look at our attitude, we need to acknowledge that God and his precepts govern us. When we look at our leisure, we need to acknowledge God and his precepts govern us. When we look at our finances, we need to acknowledge that God and his precepts govern us. When we look at our decision making, we need to acknowledge God and his precepts govern us. When we look at our priorities, we need to acknowledge that God and his precepts govern us. Why? Because God tells us, in all your ways, acknowledge me. Not only will we have the precepts to guide us, but his spirit to lift us, his strength to let us see it through, and his wisdom to let us make good choices. That certainly relieves stress, because then we're never alone with our stress. We never have to figure it out by our lonesome. We always feel that there is someone to turn to. In all your ways and all your days, know he is there. When I have stress in my life, it's usually because I've chosen not to trust God, or I've leaned on my own understanding, or I haven't acknowledged him in all my ways, and then I find myself alone, like a self-imposed exile. So how do we respond to this reality? Well, God will do his part, and I must do my part. It's a covenant, a contract, if you will, to decide that there are things I'm only responsible for, and there are things that God can only be responsible for. He's responsible for, listen to this, always being faithful to us, never failing, always being present, providing the power that we need, just to name a few. Those are things only he can do. And what are we responsible to do? To walk in the path where his principles guide us. If you think about it, it's a really good idea. God does all that. All we have to do is walk where he leads us. But it's remembering that perspective that's the trick. Keep in mind that God wants my total trust. That's how we allow God to do his part without our interfering. Do you know people who interfere? Anybody know anybody who interferes? Have you ever been an interferer yourself? It's frustrating, isn't it? When I was 17, I had two jobs. In one, I was free to do the things I needed to do, and I did them pretty well. In the other one, my boss was always looking over my shoulder and changing my job description halfway through the workday. It changed every single day. And he still got angry that the original work he gave me to begin the day, that he changed halfway through the day, didn't get finished. What boss do you think got a Christmas card in December? I mean, that's what happens when meddling occurs, right? It causes problems. Well, when we decide to trust God with our life and quit meddling with his plan, we won't keep taking our life back from God. We won't keep taking back control. Our life has to be in his possession so he can do all things well for us. Trust means giving it up. So it may sound something like this: okay, Lord, you can change hearts and minds. Only you can change me. Only you can lead me in the right direction, so I'm listening. I'm all yours. Trust. Please remember, there are no areas that God cannot handle. Sometimes the God we trust as Almighty on Sundays at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. seems really small when the alarm clock rings on Monday morning, right? Please know there is nothing God can't handle. What's your biggest worry this week? I promise you, God can handle it. He's not a specialist who only works in a thin sliver of human experience. He is a general practitioner who has never misdiagnosed or never misprescribed. He can and will do all that we need if we let him. So here's the key to relieving stress. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Because when the one who created your life is given permission by you to direct your life, the majority of the stress has already been removed. Why be worried, pulled in opposite directions? Why be distracted, ripped apart, when the Creator offers help? He called out her name twice, right? Martha, Martha. And the good people at First United Methodist Church, Toms River. The good people at First United Methodist Church, Toms River. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what's better, and it will not be taken away from her. He really wants to help you with your stress. All you have to do is let him. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you again, we are reminded that you have united us in ways that we never thought that we could have been united before. For those of us who are here, we know you're with us. For those watching online, we know that you're with us. For those who will get in the time machine later today and watch this service taped, we know that you're with us. Challenge us, Lord, to realize that there is a God in heaven and we acknowledge him. There is a Savior who saved our soul and we acknowledge him. And we will live our lives walking with him, asking him for guidance, asking him for hope, asking him for the directions that lead us to God's next step for us. Lord, forgive us when we try to do everything on our own. Let me just get through this and then I'll get back to my faith. No, Lord, our faith helps us get through that thing, helps bring us healing, helps straighten us out. Show us what that looks like this week for us as individuals. Remind us that as our Savior, as the God of this universe, you can do anything, and we trust you for it. For in all our ways, we will acknowledge you. Amen.